Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. How should believers live in a world on the edge of calamity? James told us how in his epistle. The bottom line, be patient, for the Lord is coming. Today, some final thoughts on getting ready for whatever comes. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer now continues a series on famines, deserts, and other hard places. In wrapping up this fifth message, we turn again to James chapter 5 to learn about preparing for the day of calamity.
James now is talking to believers in the midst of this situation. He's talking to those who have been wronged by others, and the wrong continues and will continue until they die. And James goes on to say these words, be patient, verse 7. Therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the latter rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. James says, be faithful and patient until the coming of the Lord. You say, well, yeah, that was sure a good message to give to those poor people. The Lord didn't even come. No, he didn't, and he still hasn't. But the advice of James is embedded in biblical texts, and it is a very important piece of advice for us. The early church was wrong in thinking that Jesus would come in that era, but they were not wrong in expecting the possibility of his coming. Furthermore, at this point, it really doesn't matter to the early church, because someday Jesus Christ will come, and when he does, all of these wrongs are going to be made right, and vindication shall at last take place on planet Earth. Wow. I believe that God's judgment is going to be so meticulously tuned that throughout all of eternity we will say, just and true are thy works, thou King of saints. We'll look back and we'll say, every justice and injustice on this planet has been adequately and completely addressed. Now, those folks who died in the first century, they haven't yet received that justice. But be patient. The Lord is going to come. And how sure are we that the Lord is going to come? As sure as we are that he came once in Bethlehem and died on the cross and was raised. Because remember, those events were at one time prophecy, and now they're history. And someday the coming of the Lord will be history. Imagine what James is saying. Imagine a courtroom. Everybody's there and they begin to talk, and this person has this complaint and this person says this. They're murmuring against each other and they're upset with their employers and their employees and all of the murmuring and the complaining that goes on. This is what James is saying. He's saying, don't do that, because a man has stepped forward. Imagine a man stepping forward suddenly in the midst of this and saying, ladies and gentlemen, your attention please, the judge. And just like that, in mid-conversation, people stop talking because the judge is at the door. And James says, don't murmur with one another. The word of God has promised the judge is coming and he is at the door. And for those who do not know Christ as Savior, who've not come under the protection of his grace, who have not received the gift of eternal life that Jesus purchased for those who believe on him, for those people, it will be a day of calamity, the likes of which we could not imagine. But for all those who have had their bill of justice paid by Jesus through faith in him, It will be a day of vindication. It will be a day of blessing. It is a day to which all of us should be patient and look forward to the coming of the Lord. Notice what James didn't say. He didn't say, now be patient, my brothers, until you get a raise. Well, you can be patient until you do, but you might have to be patient forever. The raise might not come. He didn't say, now you be patient until the value of your house exceeds the value of your mortgage. Well, that would be a real nice thing to happen to many people. And we don't know whether or not it will. All those are uncertainties. But there is one certainty, and that is this: the judge is coming. And James says he's standing at the door. James also goes on then and uses Job as this wonderful illustration. He says, you've heard of the steadfastness of Job. Of course, Job had his doubts. And there's nothing wrong with doubts in the Christian life. If you tell me that you have never doubted, I know then that you might also lie to me about other things. Because we all have our doubts. And Job did too at one point. But notice it says, you've heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. That's verse 11. You've heard of the steadfastness of Job. The reason that that's so appropriate is because, you know, we always say, oh, I know God owns everything. God owns all my bank accounts, all of my retirement funds, all of my investments. I know it all belongs to God. And then after we've said that, what do? We leave the church and act as if it is our own. That's generally the way in which we approach that. Did you know that the Bible says that Job had a great deal of wealth? 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and was the richest man on the earth. And then if you remember the story in Job chapter 1, because of fire, because of the coming of the Sabaeans, and the fire, by the way, is lightning, because of that, a servant comes and says, Job, all of your animals are dead. The 7,000 sheep, the camels, the oxen, the donkeys, they're all gone. And by the way, your servants were killed also by the Sabaeans. Job learned something that day. If you say that it all belongs to God, if you really, really mean that, you have to accept the implication. God has a right to take it whenever he wants. And you can't tell me that your wealth and your money or my money belongs to God until we give him permission to take it if he wants it. So this is a real test for Job. It's an economic test. And then as if that wasn't enough, oh, wow, the very same day, in fact, it says that one servant was running and then the other came and says, oh, by the way, Job, a wind blew down the house. It fell on all of your 10 children, and they are all dead. Calamity, but not an ultimate calamity. Job, you remember, whose theology was more impeccable in some ways than ours, understood that the children were God's, his wealth was God's, and at the end of the day, he says this, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He came through that calamity very well, because it wasn't the ultimate one. The ultimate calamity is, of course, standing before God with all of your achievements, which go up in smoke, and finding no reason at all for God to accept you, because you've never transferred your trust to Christ. That is the ultimate calamity. And you know, when the Bible says, be patient until the coming of the Lord, there's no better way for us to be reminded of the coming of the Lord than to go back to the words of Jesus when he was saying goodbye to his disciples. And the night before in which he was betrayed, and he gave them the cup and he gave them bread. And he said to them, This bread represents my body, which was broken for you. This cup represents my blood. And then he said, this do in remembrance of me. And Paul says, when we participate, we remember the Lord's death until he comes. So let me look into your eyes today. Maybe you can see mine. Be patient, my dear sister. Be patient, my dear brother, until the coming of the Lord. And like a farmer who plants seed and that seed germinates later, your faith is going to germinate and you will be rewarded by Christ. And at the end of the day, we will all say, everything, including the loss of my job, the injustice that I endured, the exploitation that I was a victim of, it was all worth it. Because when Jesus comes, I promise you, he's going to set it all right. Be patient, therefore, till the coming of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you today for your faithfulness in our lives, but we know that life is hard. This message fell on two different sets of ears, those who do not know you as Savior, who perhaps love their money more than they love you, and then those who know Christ, and yet life is hard for them. Would you birth in us today, Father, a deep appreciation for the fact that Jesus is coming? We can stop our murmuring because the judge is at the door. We love you more than our silver and our gold. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yes, my friend, today this is Pastor Lutzer, and I indeed hope that you are patient until the coming of the Lord. James warns the rich that their gold and silver will not save them in the day of real calamity, in the day of judgment. And people who put their confidence in riches are going to be bitterly disappointed. But I want to encourage those of you who are going through a hard time economically. Maybe you are experiencing injustice, and this message was preached in order also to encourage you that the judge is at the door, and someday Jesus will speak to those issues and make them right. This message is actually part of a larger series entitled Famines, Deserts, and Other Hard Places, and in a moment you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours. However, I conclude today by urging you to be sure to listen next time, because if ever there is a message that you should listen to, it's entitled Faith at the Breaking Point. I'm going to be answering the question, and asking it at least, at what point would we be willing to deny Christ? Be sure to listen. God bless you. Have a good day.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up, Preparing for the Day of Calamity, another message on famines, deserts, and other hard places. There's a war on to destroy the faith of Christians, and this war is coming to our own shores. Next time, we ask what it would take for us to deny our faith. This series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.